And welcome back to the second hour of the Rural Survival Show here on RBN. At the moment, we are speaking with Mike in Kentucky still. All right, gentlemen, go ahead.
Okay, Nobody? We were talking about ivermectin, right, guys?
Yes.
Yeah. and there's a few choice good sources for information on this. I ran it past somebody I know that's kind of a science-y nerd, grad student, professor, and he was like, don't take ivermectin for horses. And I'm like, well, if it's made in the same factory, I don't know. I mean, you know, I would caution, yeah, but if we are headed towards some kind of a major, what was it Joe Biden said, dark winter implosion of the economy, you got to do what you got to do, you know. I wouldn't do it if you've got access to, you know, a doctor that is hip to the use of it. You know, I know somebody who recently went to the vet, and their pet was scratching like crazy, and the doc looked at them, and they were scratching, and they said, hey, you've got scabies. They had to treat the whole house. That's been used for scabies on humans and animals for, I don't know, 30 years or something, since the mid-70s, so it's known.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact is, they have a... I guess you call it a soap. You use it in a shower. It's like pour on ivermectin for cattle.
Yeah.
Except it's in a much, much smaller bottle. And you wash yourself with this soap, and it's supposed to kill the scabies. I had a dose of it one time because they thought I had it, but I didn't. And no ill effects whatsoever.
Well, it has about a four-week shelf life or half cycle or whatever you call it. So in the Eastern Virginia Medical School protocols, that's what they say for people that are high risk, is that, you know, you take a day one and a day three loading dose of 200 micrograms per kilogram of body weight or something like that. You can look it up. And then every 4 weeks after that, you take that maintenance dose, because it kind of maintains a level of prevention in your body. So this stuff is known, and if it's being suppressed to sell a vaccine, we need to really blow the whistle on that, because it blows a whole lot out of the water about how rigged our media and the medical systems are in these, mainly the Western IMF, World Bank-controlled economies. So it just rips that all to pieces. Not just hydroxychloroquinone. I mean, there's good evidence of that being rigged, you know, to kill people. They've done about three different major studies to kill people with hydroxychloroquinone, with doses they know were fatal to people with heart conditions, like Oxford, the World Health Organization, and then some clinic in Brazil, I think, that JAMA published back in June. So this is, for anybody that's thinking it's all conspiracy theory, when you start looking at that, health professionals are looking at that and going, wait a minute, hey, what are they doing here? This is rigged, you know? It's bewildering. It's bemusing, or whatever John Campbell said out of England, Dr. John Campbell. So I would encourage people to look through his stuff. It's dry. It's dry. It's boring.
Me.
But the information is there.
Yeah, I watch him pretty much every time he puts out a new video. I don't always agree with him, but
I don't agree with
he does put out
50, 60%.
Good information.
He has been pressured into looking at hydroxychloroquinone and ivermectin, I think, by his YouTube subscribers.
Yeah.
He actually admitted shying away from it because it was so controversial. Well, science doesn't care about controversy. Science cares about the truth. But I'll let you go. I've already way beyond my 5 minutes, even though we got interrupted by breaks. I know you got to pay the freight.
That's why we didn't say anything, Mike, and nobody's on hold right now. But anyway, thank you for your call, buddy. Greatly appreciate
it. Yeah, yeah, I appreciate you guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike.
All right.
Happy New Year.
Bye-bye. You know, Rick, I've got this tube of ivermectin, praziquantel paste here in front of me. This is probably what we're going to use. And I did some research, just Google online. With this combination. Now, the ivermectin is, you know, what we expect. I looked up the other ingredient, praziquantel, 7.75% paste. The The praziquantel is a wormer. Okay, it's for flukes specifically, blood flukes, you know, and everything else. It's a fluke worm. And this is added to the ivermectin, which takes care of all the other worms. Now, this combination right. takes care of roundworms, tapeworms, spots, all with a single dose. You don't have to come back and do it again later. But my thinking is, as we're very rural, I think everybody in the family has had worms at one time or another over the past 30 years. You just, you know, you're out there working in the mess, you're going to get them. And, you know, my thinking is, why not go ahead and protect yourself? It, you know, if food is short, people are going to be somewhat malnourished. Worms do not help. So why not treat for both? And this particular tube, it's like I said, it's the fancy stuff. It's $16.25 is what it costs. I think it doesn't look old, probably a month or two ago.
But I think that's what I paid.
Yeah. The bottom line is both of these medications can be prescribed for humans, you know. In fact, I'm looking at the human one right now. It's an anti-parasite. It can treat infections caused by worms, liver flukes, schizotoma, which is blood flukes. A prescription is needed. In pregnancy, there's no known risk. Alcohol, however, interactions can occur. And the drug class is anthelmintic. I think it's anthelmintic is the drug class. So, yes, this is safe for humans, you know, according to Google it is. And of course,
well, you know, well, as we were talking about before the show, if this is something that you've never taken before, and I would fit into that category, then what you would want to do is, and if you listen to, and there's people out there on the internet called Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy, and these people, oh man, I believe he is a surgeon or a gynecologist or something, but they do prepping videos showing you how to do stitches and all that, but they will tell you, you know, if you're going to fool around with something like this, take a light dose and make sure that you can tolerate it. And if I were probably, you know, going to do this, I would probably take a quarter of a dose or even less, and work up a little bit, see how I do. It wasn't more than about 6 months ago that I was fooling around with some freshwater clams, and by about 10 o'clock at night, I went into anaphylactic shock. And you talk about painful. I literally lost control of every single bodily function, and had to be carted out of here. And it took two EpiPens to bring me back. And so you don't want to do that in a grid down situation, because you might not get the same medical care that I got. So what you want to do is you know, give yourself a little bit and watch yourself, watch your heart rate, look out for things like arrhythmia, dilated pupils, especially a rash. Look out for all the common things that you would see if you were fiddling around with an allergic reaction. Be very careful. And the same would be true, especially of like kids. You know, you're going to have to do the math on this. You're going to have to do the math and figure out what a light dose is by body weight for a kid. So right. You're going to have to be careful with it. But you know, as was suggested here, they don't have special factories for things like azithromycin, amoxicillin. These all go through the same factories, and then they're sold in a different way. DMSO, of course, they don't want you to use that. I use it. That's for horses, they say. Cocaine, they don't want you to use it. That's for horses, but I use it. I'm kidding. And then, but there are other medications that are used that for horses and for dogs and fish. And you know, you can use them. Just be super careful about it. You know, make sure you're doing the math right. Don't screw up.
Yeah. I was just reading the back of this box, Rick. It says, in a full safety study in younger animals, Zymectrin Gold Paste was found to be safe at up to 3 times the recommended dose in 2-month-old foals. That tells me that is
interesting.
That it's pretty safe.
Yeah, you can't even hardly get that out of Tylenol. I mean, you know, that there are medications out there that you wouldn't want to do that with. That's all fascinating. We let Mike go over the 5-minute limit, of course, because this information that we're discussing right now might actually turn out to be important to you. And I will say 2 things. Last time we were talking about, oh, man, why were we talking about? We were talking about all the antibiotics, and that was about 2 years ago, and we found that it got so weird at Countryside Pet Supply that we were having a tough time getting the common antibiotics, which were fish and bird antibiotics. They were getting wiped out, and I asked them, I said, what's up with the shortage? Well, everybody's buying it. I'm like, well, I know exactly what this is. This is people, you know, preppers buying it, not for fish and not for birds. So there you go. So,
right.
So you might want to, I'll tell you what's going to happen here probably is your local farm supply soon. I highly suggest, as I mentioned with the toilet paper, get there first because just in case you've got a butt, you might want some. And you might want to go and grab some ivermectin. Because it might turn out to be handy. Be the first one there.
Well, it's not expensive, you know. Everything I read say it's safe. But like you said, some people might react to it, and I agree with you. You know, very small dose to start with to see what happens. Now,
right.
I know for a fact that ivermectin doesn't bother me. We used to have cattle. I use pour-on ivermectin when a calf or one of my cows or even a bull. I had a problem with a bull that did not like the liquid going down the center of its back. I got more of it on me than the bull got on him. So I know for a fact that the ivermectin doesn't bother me. I don't know about this other part of the wormer, so I'm going to do exactly what you suggested. A very small dose.
Yeah, that's probably, especially if you're talking about taking it internally, you know, you could probably start, you know, depending on how you are, you know, putting some on your skin and watching for a rash. That would be another way to handle that. There are probably any number of ways that you could find out how you react. You know, probably start with it on the on some sensitive part of your body, like the inside of your wrist or the inside of your upper arm, the inside of your bicep where the skin is not the back of your arm, where skin is tough. Put it somewhere where you know, don't want a rash and see what happens. Don't put it there. So, yeah, start with your arm. No, don't put it there.
Also, we need to remind our listeners that...
We got a caller that probably... If it's on topic, we'll have some more information for us. So let's go to Pam in Connecticut on line 3. Good morning, Pam.
Good morning and Happy New Year. I've used Zymectrin. I've also used the, let me see, what is it called? Hold on a minute. It's called... Pyrantel pomoate paste. That's the strong X. Yeah, I use those. I basically have parasitosis. I had a bird mite infestation, and also tick bites, and I used that with metronidazole. And basically, it's just a lot cheaper to go to, the local feed store say you're buying it for your pony or your goat. And you can look at how much, you need to take. But I have to tell you that what has been the saving grace, and I'm still working on it, I have this tongue worm. I have Linguatula serrata. So it's in my nasal sinus cavities. But also, as a child, I had a dog tapeworm. So I'm susceptible to tapeworms. And what I found was I'm going to be now advertising for North American Herb and Spice, and they have been my savior. So what I use is their black seed oil. Incredible. And their oregano super strength. And I've been, I take that and I put it under my tongue. And well, hey, listen. So what I did was it took me, I guess 8 months to a year of just, and before that I was cleansing the worms out of me, but roundworms and these worms, just incredible. Yeah. I just have a huge, a couple gallon jars of worms from my rectum. It's real. So I cleanse those out now.
I'm not sure I would save those. I'm not sure I would say.
Well, no, I just for I wanted to show them to an internist because if you tell them you have parasites, like I had.
Well, I have two questions.
Psychosis because
well,
of.
Have you thought about putting any of this through one of those atomizers and just breathing it while you're sleeping or something like that?
Well, I haven't, this is what I found is just, it's just doing it because I mechanically have to remove the parasite from my nasal sinus cavities, and I'm cleaning them out. I have had two surgeries for my sinuses, and I just can't go through that any longer.
I do have one follow-up question. Did all of this come from? Were you in Africa or in the jungle?
No, I was here. I was here in Connecticut. I was here in my backyard.
Well, I'm not going there.
My front yard,
go ahead.
Too. I have deer.
What's in the?
And I have. To get the bird mites, I picked up a couple bird nests and I just threw them, and then I went in and I just infested my chair. It was just horrendous. I had to sleep in my bathtub for a while. It was called Elysir. No, if you look online, so this happened in 2011. So if you look back there, then you can see and people. Like, luckily, it was very cold. It's music, right? Okay.
Yes.
You want me to hang on or just leave?
Ma'am.
What?
We appreciate the info. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in 3 minutes. And I'm doing Ori's job, unfortunately.
So I'll say goodbye?
with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Suzanne, the plans they made put an end to you. I walked out this morning and I wrote down this song. I just can't remember who to send it to. I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never end.
Welcome back to the RBN. All right, gentlemen. Might want to remind our listeners that if you do go to the feed store to pick up the ivermectin, it comes in different brands. Ours carries like three different ones, so you might want to read the backs of them to make sure it's the one you want. They all have, as you found out, different doses, so, just look.
Well, I think it sounds like the 1.87% would be, I would probably try to standardize on that, but of course, if you've got something else, cool. As long as it's somewhere in that range, you start seeing numbers like 1% or 5%, you better start doing the math real seriously now.
Yeah. Well, I agree.
Okay. Okay, so what would you like to do here?
Well, let's talk about the comments our last caller made. Now, you know, from having livestock for the past 30 years, I know a little bit about how worms work. It sounds to me, and I wasn't there, but just from what I gleaned from what she said, it sounds to me like A, she waited far too long to seek treatment.
There's
something wrong with keeping 2 gallons of worms that you pulled out of your ass. Ain't right there. And my further guess is if she keeps having problems, she is not taking the ivermectin or whatever and the other ones every 3 months. You know, she might say, okay, they're gone, and not continue with the treatment. So, that's my opinion on it. What do you guys think?
Yeah, the math is all off. I must admit, I had the sensation I was being trolled. This is just the math is just too far wrong. But I have been in constant contact with animals my entire life. I've gotten pinworms once or twice, but generally this is from kids bringing them home from school. But they're very easily dispatched. They're very easily dealt with. They got a little bottle of stuff at the Walgreens. You just swallow it and you're done. This isn't making tons of sense to me. Staying on task here, talking about COVID-19 or whatever in the world else Bill Gates is dreaming up, I'm sure that the last thing the government wants you to do is run up to the Tractor Supply or your local feed store and grab some ivermectin. That's just ruining everything for them. I say go small. I say support the farm supply. Buy seeds. They're going to be bringing out the garden seeds any minute. Get your seeds up there. Get your hay and my God, get your vet wrap and all the other cool things that they've got that's on the cheap that you can buy for yourself. Look over what they've got and try to decide how many uses for that stuff. Their pyrethrin spray for barns. I haven't been able to find pyrethrin spray at the local grocery stores for years, but it's very common there, very effective, safe for people and animals. You know, there's all kinds of stuff in those places that a person could use. It has nothing to do with the prices being charged by people like Walmart and Walgreens. These prices are insanely cheap. They've got betadine, povidone, and all kinds of stuff that you would use on wounds if you're doing, like if you're stapling yourself. They got staplers for, if you gash yourself open, put some povidone on there and staple yourself up. They've got all kinds of cool stuff in these places that you should be availing yourself of. And that's more music.
They do. In fact, betadine, they sell by the gallon. And I can't remember what the price is, but I remember thinking how cheap it was the last time I bought it.
Okay, guys, we have a break. Ladies and gentlemen, please hold on. We'll be back in about 3 minutes.
Might say he was born again. Might say he found the key for every door. When he first came to the mountains, his life was far away. On the road, hanging by a song. But the string's already broken, and he doesn't care. It keeps changing fast, and it don't last for long.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com.
I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Well, it's all.
Survival show here on RBN. Our call-in number is 512-248-8252. Again, 512-248-8252. And we have no callers waiting at this time, so if you have a question or a statement, give us a shout. Okay, guys.
Money wasted by the United States government last year. There is a chart on my phone, but I'll just read you some of the most fun ones. Just in case you're looking to make some side money, the government will pay you to do a study. They will pay you $1.3 million if you would like to do a quick study on whether or not people want to eat bugs. They will pay you $36 million if you would like to do a study to see why stress makes your hair turn gray. I could use... If I had $36.8 million, I'd put most of that into Bitcoin. We spent $1.4 million to see if we could get Indian youths to stop smoking hookahs, whatever the hell that is. $7 million, $7 million of cancer research money was redirected into smart toilets, whatever in the hell those are. Smart toilet. Okay, never mind. $3.4 million spent on a study to see if moms could get their daughters to quit going to tanning booths. There was $217 million for duplicative health services for government workers. That's crazy. And then there was a study, it was a fake study, $31 million regarding e-cigarettes. So, and there's also another one, which you didn't write down, I think it was 17 point something million dollars to see if hot tubbing would reduce stress. So if you'd like to sit in a hot tub and make $17 million, you might want to contact your local congressman. I'm sure he'd be thrilled to sit in there with you. So that's why you buy Bitcoin, because things aren't going so well. One of the big New Year's Eve foods eaten by people, and this is kind of a more or less a universal thing. You're supposed to have collard greens and black-eyed peas. So I'm just bringing that up. I also want to mention that even though it seems like spring will never come, Austool's brass siphon feeder is an unbelievable product for like $25. It is just about one of the handiest things I've ever seen. Two more things I need to mention. Comments about some callers calling last show. No, I'm not criticizing any caller at all. I want to straighten out the situation regarding Advent. Advent means, the word Advent, of course, means to come before, but it is, we all know, it is a period of time before the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, so it would come before that. So this year, on the liturgical calendar, Advent started on November the 29th and ended on Christmas morning, well, probably midnight. But and then we are in right now what's called the Christmas season, which is about a two-week celebratory period where we acknowledge the birth of Christ, and then we go into ordinary time just about January the 10th, I think, is the first Sunday of ordinary time. Now, you might say, and rightfully so, yeah, Rick, but you're Catholic, so that's different. No, it's not different. Easter will still be Easter. Christmas will still be Christmas. These things will all be done in an appropriate time. And for some reason, somehow, some way, it seems to be one of the very few things that people will agree on is when these things are actually occurring. Why that is, I do not know. But I do know that the Christian liturgical calendar is pretty much universally accepted. So we're out of Advent, and we're in the Christmas season, where we will remain until, like, just about a week from tomorrow. A week from tomorrow will be, yeah, I guess, Ken. the first Sunday of ordinary time. Ken, is that you?
Okay. Actually, we have a couple callers.
We got some callers. Go ahead.
We have Dave in New York on line 3. Good morning, Dave. Happy New Year.
Hey, good morning. It's morning for you. It's afternoon here, but yeah.
Hey, that's right.
Oh, sorry, buddy.
Yeah, I'm wondering if Giuliani is a Catholic. He gave in his December 25th talk, in between selling cigars and commemorative coins and telling us there's a big announcement coming, he gave a very good Christmas message. And his Christmas message is like listening to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You get a different perspective with everybody. This guy was a mayor of New York. And I was surprised. Is he Catholic? Maybe.
Well, I believe that he is, and I think. But you know, as a caveat, you will find that we have people who range anywhere from Catholics for choice, like Nancy Pelosi, which means you're not Catholic at all the way up to my family member we call the Catholic Nazi. So, you know, if you're a Catholic for choice, you aren't Catholic. You know, if you're a Catholic for any kind of mortal sin, you're not a Catholic. So, but then again, like I said before, you don't want the baby to go out the bathwater. I have to presume I actually don't know, but I suspect he is.
Right, right. Okay, well, anyway, I think the main thing I wanted to mention is this ivermectin that you're talking about. Dr. Corey's talk is here on RBN, and I called in and had Chris Martinson's coverage of this added to that, and they did it, which was great. I think, but this is highly suppressed. And there was a guy talking on John Moore's show who was willing to talk about it, but he didn't get the chance, and I'm not sure we're going to hear from him again. But maybe he would come on your show. Regardless, the only thing, I've not tried it yet.
Who was it? Dave, give me a name. Who are we talking about that was on John's show?
Well, you want to talk to John Moore about that? He would know. He's probably the most intelligent person who was ever on his Tuesday roundtable. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Is that enough information for you?
Steve Benoon or Steve O'Neill.
Number three. Look under door number three.
All right.
You got
I'll check it out.
Well, sorry about that. That's a roundabout way, but...
No, we can find him easy enough. That's not a problem. We know who he is. Please
yes,
continue.
Right. No, the thing that I was told by someone who has worked with horses from the time they were a child, and they may have been exposed to this ivermectin, is that there are certain people who have had lawsuits against Merck, and they have gag orders with the settlements. Well, these aren't gag orders. This is part of an agreement. It is like a non-disclosure agreement. Now, they didn't say that they had a suit. They didn't give me any details when I asked about what the damage done was to people by taking this or being exposed to it. So I can give you a caution for which we have no basis. We can find no basis of any problem people have had in the searches that we have done on this. But that doesn't mean that there aren't potential problems with certain people. And I think this person is particularly sensitive to vitamins when they take them. And I suspect they are the ones who had a lawsuit. But I haven't, you know, I don't know. They're very coy about the way they talk about things. So that's something to consider. You may want to do a little test on you first. I don't know, you know. But it's very effective.
Everyone's metabolism is quite different, and you never really know. I mean, for example, I have old blood, so I have a real problem with anything mint-based. So while I do like basil and oregano and some of these other things, I am highly sensitive to them. And even though things like oregano are a great bacterial, fungus, and viral killer, I have to find another way to deal with this. So, you know, that's why we're saying when it comes to something like dosing yourself with something like ivermectin, you know, start with something really small, like a quarter of a dose, and be very careful what you do and watch carefully before you try. Don't just go take a whole dose thinking, you know, that it's the silver bullet. You know, you might wind up killing yourself. So you're going to have to watch out what you do.
Yeah, that's very wise advice, and hopefully you do it at an early enough time where it makes a big difference. If you're not on vitamin D3, I don't know what you've been missing, because that's also rather significant in terms of the severity.
Right.
I think 21 nanograms per milliliter and above, Martinson has put out, is very helpful in general, by correlation only.
Right.
Not by,
and some folks,
yep, thank you.
And some folks suggest divide it up and do some in the morning and some at night to keep that level up so that, you know, don't take it necessarily all at once. Take half and half. That way your B levels, almost all of the people admitted to ICU with COVID are VDI, vitamin D insufficient. They tend to be older people. So if you keep your vitamin D levels up, chances of you getting COVID-19 are fairly slight. At least that's what you hear in the alt media.
Yeah, I appreciate you sharing that information. It sounds good. Thanks.
Dave, we're 5-minute rules in effect. I thank you for your call, sir, but we got to move on. We got a bunch of callers waiting. Next, we go to Warren in Montana on line 5. Good morning, Warren.
Good morning. Another good source of vitamin C is I tried some, I did some research online. There's several articles on pine needle tea. And I tried the particular red cedar tea. And I steeped it. I make my own beer, so I'm familiar with steeping grains. I heated it up. You don't want to overheat it. And I steeped it, let it cool down. I steeped it overnight, heated it up on my wood stove. I put a horseshoe under my pot so it doesn't boil, get too hot from the stove. And it makes a very pleasant tea. It wasn't sour or bitter. I didn't need to add sugar. And it really felt great. It went right through me. It's a very pleasant tea, and they claim that it has 5 times the vitamin C than orange juice. And
now
we
you
have
said
up
this
here in Northwest
red
Mont.
Cedar? Is that what you
yes,
said? Red cedar?
Red cedar grows up in the Northwest United States, Canada, Washington, Northern
it
California,
grows here,
here
too.
In Montana. Oh, okay. Okay. The leaves look like the leaves are flat and kind of like a skeleton. And there right. are other cedars and yes, okay. And, but all I had to do is just, of course, cut it, just wash it. And I took, ball canning mix, these scissors that have 4 blades for cutting things up really fine. And I just cut it up and, matter of fact, I put it in my coffee cup, went to a convenience store, and let it sit on my stove and heat it, or I put some hot water on it in the convenience store's coffee pot and tried that the first time. And second time, I let it sit overnight and makes a very pleasant tea and doesn't cost anything either. But and cedar it's a really good cedar sawdust is. Rodents and bugs do not like it. I put some sawdust on a red ant hill one time in my garden, just and they evacuated. So,
wow.
But the Indians lived off this land up here. I lived in Upper Michigan from Wisconsin. I lived in northern Washington State, and up here the Indians lived. They lived off this land, and those ways were lost. I don't know if any resources. I'm kind of open minded what they lived off up here. And it says on the internet that the first settlers were lacking vitamin C. There's a name for it, an illness. I forget the name. And the Indians told them eat the trees, and they did. And that was the problem.
It's called scurvy.
Scurvy, yes. And the trees, the pine needles cured it. And they also said to the best needles, like your ponderosa pines and your other noble pines, supposed to be really good. The short needles and the new needles are supposed to be good. The older needles, might be bitter and kind of, and they got oil in them, of course, too. And just like, of course, like Duterra has oils from all sorts of things that are good for us. So it's a good thing. I'm kind of just starting to check out. So
okay,
got lots of that.
Well, Warren, we got the 5 minute rule in effect, buddy. Nothing
okay.
against you, but we got to go to our next caller, and we appreciate your call, sir. Next, we go to Gene in Kentucky on line 9. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning. I remember Bitcoin being talked about on Free Talk Live back in before 2012, and they were talking about mining Bitcoin. But I sure wouldn't trust it now, because if the grid goes down, there goes your whatever. And another thing, Tractor Supply has a sign up now. A local Tractor Supply, and I go in here and buy stuff for my girls. Has it in front of the paste items with the horse stuff, and also has it on the locked case where the ivermectin is, you know, like the pour on. Okay. Another
right.
thing is, I bought a sign off of Tradio, a local Tradio. I used portable, you know, portable signs that you put the letters on, and I got my same
right.
from Ernie Hancock from Freedom Phoenix, and he said, "For the face of liberty wears no mask." I had that up for a while. Now I've got vaccinehoax.com via Paul from Chicago mentioned. Civil disobedience, say no, say hell no. I've got some other stuff on the other side. It's like a 4x6 sign. And I've cool. got enough of war, tyranny, mask. I forgot what else I've got. But I'm going to change it again to some more stuff. There's a lot of things I want to say out here on RBN. And I missed that gentleman that used to call from New York talking about herbs. I think his name is Dave. I'm not sure. He had called quite a while. I heard him some program a while back. And my husband, I think, ordered a COVID testing kit, and that made me upset because he wasn't sick or anything. And I think he's been getting the flu shots for years, and that upsets me too. So I'm not sure because we don't live together. He lives some one place, I live another.
All right. Rick, do you want to address real quick the thing about Bitcoin being inaccessible if the grid goes down? I know we were talking about that this morning.
Sure, we were. Yeah, I would just say one quick thing with regard to that, and that is that just about any form of capital could be potentially extracted, stolen, lost, whatever, with respect to something like a cryptocurrency. You do run the inherent risk of being subject to an attack on the internet or something like that. However, if your Bitcoin is stored properly in a Trezor, it would remain suspended in the blockchain until you can get to it. My take on this would be this, is that since the new government crypto, which is supposed to be rolled out just about right now, all of your currency going forward, they'll get rid of the dollar, and you will be using the federal cryptocurrency. That will all be internet-based. It would be, in my opinion, unlikely that they would tolerate the grid being down for any length of time. You should not be in a position where you're completely depending on the cryptocurrency for anything. You should have gold and silver around. You should have some cash around. You should have food and water around. If they take the grid down for 3 or 6 months, you'll get your cryptos back, assuming that they were stored intelligently, and everything should be fine. But, you know, your point is well taken. Nobody should be selling the farm to buy Bitcoin. You shouldn't be doing that. You should keep everything very well balanced. That would be my statement.
Well, I wish I would have invested in some years ago when I first heard the Free Talk Live talk about it. That's the only time I would have did it. I wouldn't trust it now. I wouldn't trust any of that stuff because I heard you talk about the government wants to start everybody on a digital currency, which I don't even use debit cards. I have one, but I probably used it one
time.
You know.
Well, ma'am, let me just ask one question then, and this is, to me, I think, an important one. If you don't trust it, you don't trust it. I totally get that, and I respect that. Do you trust the United States dollar?
No, but I deal in cash. I mean, when I go to Walmart, I never pay. I don't charge anything. I got charges occasionally on eBay because you have to do that. You know, you can't just pay cash to people.
But well, then let me ask
as many
you
money orders as I can. You know.
Sure. No, I get it. That's good. That's a good way to do things. But if the dollar, if we have hyperinflation or something, which is exactly the way they're planning on burning off the debt through hyperinflation, through excessive money printing, you're going to have a very, very difficult time paying for anything because things are going to get too expensive. So I would probably try to encourage you to at least go down to the coin shop and get some what they call junk silver, which is just it's just pre-64, pre-65 dimes and quarters. Well, that's probably going to come in real handy for you. So,
yeah, well, my sister-in-law had a boatload of it. I mean, a lot of it because her husband did it and then saved all that. And when he died, she got all that, and she was silly enough to sell it all. the bag to go to Europe. So whatever, it might be so strange, but everybody does what they want, you know what I mean? But you can't convince me, like my husband.
He believes in all this more. Math. I mean, you just head on down to the coin store and get some more.
Well, if I did it, I'd do it anonymously, paying cash. Walk in and buy only so much. But I was told that the one in Louisville closed, so I'm not sure. So I haven't tried because we don't go to Louisville that often anymore, you know.
Sure.
So whatever.
Jane,
yes.
I'm sorry, but I've got to let you go because we've got to close out the show. We've got about 2 minutes of airtime left.
Okay, thank you for your
program.
Really
y'all
take care.
Your call.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Shane. Happy New Year.
Okay, Rick, if you would, sir, our prayer, and then I'll let Lori say something and I'll wrap it up.
I will. Here's a prayer to Jesus' father, St. Joseph. Glorious St. Joseph, model of all those who are devoted to labor, obtain for me the grace to work conscientiously, putting the call of duty above my many sins, to work with thankfulness and joy, considering it an honor to employ and develop, by means of labor, the gifts received from God, to work with order, peace, prudence, and patience, never surrendering to weariness or difficulty, to work above all with purity of intention, with detachment from self, having always death before my eyes and the account that I must render of time lost, talents wasted, goods omitted, and the vain complacency in success, so fail to the work of God. All for Jesus, all for Mary, after your example, St. Joseph. Such will be my motto in life and in death. Amen.
Thank you, Rick. Very appropriate at this day and time, and greatly appreciated. Did you have any other comments you wanted to make real quick?
No. I think, you know, I'm looking forward to the gardening season. I've got my Clyde's garden planner here. It seems like a million light years away, but I am eager. I've got they've got a bunch of their seeds, their tomato seeds, back in that they were missing, like the Tachi Roma style tomato, very impressive tomato last year for me. I intend to ramp that up. And also they've got the red snappers. These are the biggest tomatoes I've ever seen. These are all determinant plants, which will be shot by the end of July, but very impressive nonetheless. The Roma-style tomato makes a great pickle. So other than that, that'd be about it.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Lori, your turn.
Just remember it's cold as here. It's snowing as we speak. just keep the elderly and the homeless and men and women of our military in your prayers. Also pray for our country because I have a feeling we're going to really need it this year. But other than that, I hope everybody has a safe and wonderful new year. God bless.
Thank you, sweetie. All right, folks, we'll be back same time, same channel next week. Hope you can tune in again. And that's it for us. Bye-bye.
Media outlets, even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.